Thank you very, very much indeed. I must say, I'm incredibly flattered that you all come out to listen to someone come and talk to you in a foreign language. Particularly as quite a lot of the language I use tends to be sort of fairly arcane. Just in case, I don't know how many, I mean, I gather that you all speak pretty good English. Just in case there are any here who don't, I've done a rough count, and I know you'll want to be polite. I know you'll want to be polite to me. So I've done a rough count, and as far as I can see, there's usually a good line about every 10 seconds. So if you just laugh politely every 10 seconds, we'll all get on fine. I have a problem, which is that there's a desk in the way. Hold on. Is that still plugged in? Yes, it is. Well, I'm going to read you a number of different passages this evening. And I'm going to start off with the thing that kind of means the most to me, though it's also the sort of least well-known book that I did. It's a book called Last Chance to See, and I want to tell you a little bit about what that is and where that came from, and then I want to read some passages from some of the Hitchhiker books. Now, let me explain about Last Chance to See. Quite a few years ago, one day the phone rang, and I leapt for it, as all authors do, because otherwise you have to sort of sit in a room all by yourself all day with nothing to do other than write a novel. And a voice said, we want you to go to Madagascar. We want you to go and look for a very rare form of lemur called the ai. Plane leaves in a couple of weeks, please be on it. Now, I assumed that they got the wrong number. So I said yes instantly before they had a chance to discover that. And so I had to find out something about this animal before I went. And it turned out to be extremely interesting. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the history of Madagascar, which is something that I knew nothing about whatsoever, and the history of the lemurs, because the many millions of years ago, about 60 million years ago, the lemurs were the dominant primates in all the world, and they were very, very nice creatures. They're about the sort of size of a sort of small monkey or sort of large cat or dog, and they basically like to sort of lounge around in trees having a good time. And there came a point when Gondwanaland split up. Now, this always sounds like some 70s progressive rock band going their own way for reasons of musical differences. But actually, what I'm referring to is the giant supercontinent, which comprised of what we now know as South America, Africa, Southeast Asia, and Australasia, though not New Zealand, which turns out to be just a load of gunk that came out from under the ocean. And Madagascar was part of that, and it floated off into the middle of the Indian Ocean, taking with it a representative sample of the livestock of the time, including a bunch of lemurs, because lemurs were all over the world at that point. And Madagascar sat out in the middle of the Indian Ocean, then for millions and millions and millions of years, all entirely by itself. Meanwhile, in the rest of the planet, alarming things were happening. A whole new creature, a whole new animal arose, which was much more intelligent, according to it, much more much more competitive, much more aggressive, and primarily much, much more interested in all the things it could do with twigs. It was fascinated by twigs. You can do so much with twigs. You can sort of burrow under the bark of trees for grubs with twigs. You can dig in the ground with twigs. You can even hit each other with twigs. And the monkeys, for the monkeys is what I'm talking about. I mean, they were so keen on to, if there had been copies of Twig User magazine around in those days, they would have been queuing up at the newsstand. But anyway, the monkeys lived in exactly the same habitat as the lemurs. So gradually the monkeys, because they were much more competitive and aggressive, took over from the lemurs, and the lemurs died out everywhere in the world other than Madagascar, because the monkeys could never get there. The monkeys never ever got there until 1500 years ago, when due to staggering advances in twig technology, they finally made it in boats, and then more recently in even more staggering advances in twig technology called aeroplanes. And as a result of this, the lemurs of Madagascar were finally having to face the monkeys and were finally fighting their lives. This time not because the monkeys wanted to live in the same habitat, but because they wanted to burn it down. So anyway, the rarest of the lemurs, or what was thought to be the rarest of the lemur at this time that I went, which was a few years ago now, was an animal called the ai. Now the ai is a very, very strange creature. It's kind of like an assemblage of other animals. It has sort of large fox-like ears. It has huge great eyes. Actually, they're rather like Marty Feldman's eyes, because they're kind of... and it has a sort of large sort of ostrich feather-like tail, little bitey rabbit's teeth, and a most peculiar feature, which is a tremendously long, skeletally thin middle finger, which it uses for burrowing under the tree, under the bark of trees for grubs. There's only one other animal in the world that has this peculiar feature, which is the long, thin middle finger. And that's an animal that lives in Papua New Guinea, and it's called, I do love zoologists, they have such a wonderfully vivid imagination. It's called the long-fingered possum. And it actually has a long fourth finger rather than third one, because there's no actual relationship at all. There's no the two animals are not related in any way at all, other than by convergent evolution. So this creature, which lives in the rainforest in Madagascar, is nocturnal, which I think is one of the reasons why nobody had seen one for a long time. And it only existed now, as far as we were to believe at that point, on a tiny little rainforest island just off the coast of Madagascar. Because just as for many, many millions of years, Madagascar had been a refuge from the rest of the world for the lemurs before the monkeys arrived there, or the monkeys' descendants, i.e. us. Now that the monkeys arrived on Madagascar, there had to be another refuge off the coast of Madagascar for the ai's. The only difference here being at least the monkeys had set this refuge aside. So we had to go there and we had to find this creature. Now, the process of getting to this little island called Nosy Mangabe involves you first fly on a 747 to Tananarive, which is the capital of Madagascar. Then you fly a dreadful old jalopy of an aeroplane up to the northeast coast. You then proceed in a kind of decreasingly excellent series of carts and trucks to a little port where there was supposed to be a boat to meet us to take us to this island. And we arrived there and we couldn't see the boat that was supposed to be taking us. We looked around and... But we couldn't see it. People kept on pointing, but we couldn't see what they were pointing at because there was this dreadful, rotting old hulk in the way. Yeah, okay, you guessed it. That was what we had to cross to the island in. So we went to the island and then spent night after night after night traipsing through the rainforest in what can only be described as the rain. Looking for this wretched animal that a month ago I'd never even heard of. And I began to think even writing novels must be better than this. And then late one night, as we were sitting huddled under our raincoats and tarpaulins and so on, there emerged in a tree just a few sort of feet above our head there came along a branch, this extraordinary looking animal. And it came along and it looked down at us. Obviously didn't at all like look of what it saw. Turned around and went back again. And that was it. It was there for about 10 seconds. And that was what we'd come all this distance to see. It was an eye-eye. And oddly enough, the sight of that animal completely captivated and hypnotized. I mean, I felt almost hypnotized by this moment. It was utterly extraordinary seeing it. This is an animal I had not even known existed a month earlier. I hadn't any interest in it, didn't know anything about it. And I was wondering, why on earth was it that I found the experience of just seeing it for a moment so extraordinary and so moving? And I began to think about this, and it took me quite a long time to figure it out. And it was a few weeks later, I finally thought, what it was this, that in making my trip from London to Nosy Mangabey, i.e. flying in the 747 to at Tananarive, and then going in the dreadful old jalopy of an aeroplane up to the northeast coast, and then the decreasingly excellent series of carts and trucks, and then the terrible rotting hulk that had taken us to Nosy Mangabey. It was as if we were taking a sort of time trip back through the history of twig technology. To the point that what was happening as I walked through the rainforest and finally met this creature was that here in the rainforest was a monkey meeting a lemur. And I thought, there's a huge amount of history behind this. There's an awful lot of history behind this. I mean, we think of the history we know as largely being, well, I suppose these days, most of it is the 20th century. And anything much further behind that seems to be very, very old. My wife is a barrister, and she tells me that in the English legal system, they actually have a date for time immemorial, which is 1189. Anything that was true before 1189 is held to have been true since time immemorial, i.e. since time began. You know, if you've got, and it ain't true. I began to sort of think about the fact that we had an evolutionary history that goes back far, far, far deeper in time than we ever normally consider. And we have relationships with other creatures on this planet that have long, long histories that you kind of don't think about. So I thought, well, maybe it's time to think about this. And so there was a zoologist friend, there was a zoologist who I'd met actually in Madagascar who'd set the whole trip up. And I said to him, well, I would really love to go and do a whole project based on this and just go and find some more animals and find out more about them. You know, do you want to travel around the world and find rare and endangered species of animal? He said, well, that's fine by me. It's what I do for a living. So we set out to go and look for some animals.